Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Vince Lombardi Trophy is headed to Philadelphia. Eagles fly in Super Bowl 59.
The final call of last night's Super Bowl, courtesy of Fox. And, well, somebody had to win, somebody had to lose. That's the nature of sports. And graciously joining us now, as he does each week, is Danan Hughes. He is the Kansas City Chiefs radio analyst and, of course, a former wide receiver himself. Danan, first, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. I know we played bad, but I didn't know that Chris was just going to just leave us just because we played a bad game. What the heck is going on?
I know.
We got hit in the mouth, Amy. We got hit in the mouth. We got hit in the ear. We got our ear bit. We got our eye hit. We got everything hit.
Okay, Danan, it's so true. I actually thought, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what it feels like to get hit in the mouth. Let's jump in. Why? I've never, we haven't been on this side of things for a while. what happened? I mean, other than I know the Eagles, I mean, all credit to the Eagles, right? A great team. But yeah, what happened to the Chiefs?
Yeah, I just think that we were out of sorts and didn't get back in line. We didn't have – there wasn't anything that happened the beginning of the game, second quarter, coming out after halftime, and by that time it was pretty much over that kind of jolted us. I feel like there are times in football, and I've been around this game for a long time, where it's like – you know, it's like you're watching a ER or Grey's Anatomy, and there's a patient dying on the table, and they get the paddles out, and they say clear, and they jolt them back to life. And I felt like in the game of football especially, there always seems to be that time, whether it's a turnover or a big return or a big play or something, a big hit, that just jolts the entire team back to life. And even with the interception by Brian Cook, that didn't seem to do it. And you thought, okay, well, now here we are. We made them make a mistake. We got a turnover. But then he falls down out of bounds, and I'm not blaming him, but he falls down out of bounds at the 2-yard line, and I couldn't even get excited about it. And I'm calling the game because I'm like, oh my gosh, now, like, it's great that we got a turnover, but all interceptions aren't created the same. And now we're our backs to the end, to the goal line. Mm. And now if we're going to put something together, we got to go 98 yards to do it against this defense. Like, it might have been better off if they would have kicked the field goal and then just kicked it off to us as opposed to a turnover. So it was just like that kind of factor, that kind of dynamic that just never – seemed like everything was latching together, offense, defense, special teams. And again, you give the Philadelphia Eagles incredible credit for what they were able to do. They were the better team yesterday in all three phases, and there was nothing that we could do about it. And it was unfortunate because, as you guys heard me say in previous weeks, we were going for history, and they were the team that was trying to steal it from us. And we had the opportunity to make history, which doesn't happen very much in NFL. Doesn't happen for teams in the NFL very often, and we fell short.
Danan, I know when you're a fan of the team, you're calling the games, you always are holding out hope that the team can come back. But I imagine at some point, maybe early on, you felt kind of a sinking feeling that something was off. When did you feel that, if at all?
Yeah, I'd say when it got to 24-0.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, we were mentioning it during the broadcast that, you know, when we played the Houston Texans in the playoffs and we were down 24-0 in the first quarter, and then we had time, we came back, obviously, and we were winning by halftime. The difference in that game was that it was the first quarter, and we were at home. And then we had those plays that were like the paddles that jolted us back to life in that game. And the next thing you know, if anybody turned away from the TV and they came back, we were up 31-24. And it was new life. This game, it was 24-0. It was, I believe, middle of the second quarter, maybe close to halftime. And you felt like, wow, like 17-0. If something happened positive, you thought, okay, now we get the ball coming out. We won the coin toss, so we get the ball to start the second half. If we would have got just one touchdown early, you thought, okay, 17-7, hold them. We go into halftime, we come out, we score, and now we got a ball game, and it's a whole different story. Once it got to 24 and it was getting late into that first half, I thought, man, this is not gonna bode well. And we just didn't seem like we were in sync enough to be able to overcome it.
Yeah. You know, before the game, it was Kurt Warner was talking about Patrick Mahomes and how he has this ability, an insane ability to make the right play in the moment. But it felt like Patrick Mahomes was always kind of scrambling and running out of time last night. He didn't even really look like himself, or at least what we're used to seeing.
Yeah, I'd say there was definitely remnants of what we saw against Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that Super Bowl during the COVID year, where he seemed like he was running for his life. But I will say this, and I know he'll say it about himself, and that's the one thing about being a professional athlete, especially on the NFL level. No other sport studies film, studies all the intricacies of the game like an NFL player. We spend more time in the film room than we do on the practice field most times. So we study everything about our game, about the opponent's tendencies, their blitzes, their plays, all of that stuff. And if Patrick Mahomes is watching that film, he'd be able to tell you that he caused some of those pressures himself, not so much the offensive line. And that may be weird to hear as a listener that's out there that, well, it looked like Patrick was running for his life. He didn't have time. There's ways to buy time as a quarterback and ways to avoid pressure. And then there are ways where you run into pressure. And offensive linemen hate it when quarterbacks run into pressure because, one, it makes them look bad. It makes them look like they didn't do their job. When, in essence, if you go back and watch several of those plays, if he would have just backpedaled a little bit, if he would have just stayed still, he might have bought himself a little bit more time. Now, I'm not saying that he wouldn't have got hit and they wouldn't have had any sacks, but there were several times where he tried to step up into the pocket and he got hit. And had he not tried to step up into the pocket, he probably wouldn't have gotten hit. Had he not tried to exit the pocket and use his legs, he might have had an opportunity for a receiver to get open down the field. And those are learning experiences that Patrick was talking about in the post-game interviews about being better. The throws, the interception, the pick six, the other interception, those are obvious. But when he's talking about being better, I guarantee you he's talking about not hanging his offensive linemen out to dry on several of those pressures from the Philadelphia Eagles.
You know, Danon, it's so crazy to think that Patrick Mahomes isn't even 30 yet. And so when we look at this team and we're talking about it as a dynasty, or is it one of the greatest teams ever, it's not past tense. Like, this window is still open, don't you think so?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Tom Brady went 10 years between Super Bowl wins. And who knows? I don't know if Patrick has desires to play until he's in his 40s like Tom Brady. He's going to be able to keep his body in perfect shape like Tom and have the diet and all that stuff to do it. And then obviously be able to stay healthy. But the greatest of all time went 10 years between Super Bowl wins. That's to tell us that the window is definitely not closed. And by all accounts, seems like everybody's, yeah, they were down. There wasn't very much talking going on. We didn't get very many post-game interviews. Everybody was down and sad and tears were flowing, etc. But I didn't hear of anybody saying they were ready to be done. I didn't hear of anybody saying this was their last game as a Chief. Now, there's going to be attrition. There are going to be changes. That's what happens in the NFL every single year. Think about it. We played the Philadelphia Eagles two Super Bowls ago, and we only had 15 players on the team from that game, 15 starters. So that tells you that there's going to be turnover in this game. It's just a matter of how these guys use this experience to push them through the offseason and want to change the narrative about being a flash-in-the-pan type of team that maybe some people think got lucky over these last two Super Bowl wins.
Dane, and going to the Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs kind of had to feel a little bit like old hat. And a lot doesn't necessarily translate on television. I think of those first couple of Super Bowl wins, I felt like the environment was pro-Kansas City. Yesterday, watching on television, that felt like it could have been somewhat like a home field advantage for Philadelphia. Was that the case? Was that the vibe you were feeling before the game started?
Absolutely. Philadelphia Eagles fans, they came out, they showed up and showed out. And I give them credit because I didn't think that that was going to be the case. I knew they would come out strong, but I didn't think they would come out as strong as they did because I felt like, you know, New Orleans, although it's a ways away, it's driving distance. A lot of people, a lot of Chiefs fans that I met drove down, and I thought it was a little bit far for a drive from Philadelphia. So I thought we had that aspect in our pocket where we'd have a few more fans. But I get it. It's an expensive week. It's an expensive weekend. And to tap into that five of the last 6 years, that's tough for a lot of Chiefs fans. So by no means would I blame them. If I wasn't doing the broadcast, trust me, guys, I probably wouldn't have gone each of these. But the fact remains is that the Philadelphia Eagles, they were more desperate. They had an extra chip on their shoulder. You heard them in the post game where they talked about they were hearing all about the three-peat. They were hearing about being the better football team. They saw everything on ESPN and on Fox Sports about the Chiefs winning. I remember watching I believe it was on Friday morning where everyone on Get Up on ESPN picked the Chiefs. I know several people on Fox picked the Chiefs. So that incentive, and remember, this team had won 10 straight games. They weren't a pushover. They weren't lucky to get here. They just weren't the number one seed in the NFC like we were. They were a really good football team, and they showed it.
Dana, this isn't really a football question, but I didn't realize until last week that yesterday was the first time that a sitting U.S. president was at the Super Bowl. From a security standpoint or getting around, and I know you're a broadcaster, so it's a bit different for you, but did you notice any security difference in New Orleans compared to the previous Super Bowls?
I will tell you this, and it had nothing to do with the president coming. During the week, it was like Fort Knox. Everywhere, not just around the team hotels, but around the city of New Orleans. There were Army National Guard, guys with rifles and, there are ladies and men coming from different parishes, different cities that were serving to secure the area. It was well lit. It was clean. Everything that you hear negatively about New Orleans, about safety and the homelessness and people on the streets and being careful, you did not have any worries at all walking through New Orleans. Now, as far as the game was concerned, I get there so early before the game because we did a four-hour pregame show, and so I couldn't tell you about the security with the president coming and so on. So to me, it was just the football. It was normal hat for a Super Bowl, but I think there were some concerns about New Orleans that were quashed from Monday through this morning. Heck, this morning I had trouble getting an Uber still through the security, and the game was over and fans were leaving, so they did a great job.
Well, okay, last thing for you. I know Andy Reid said after the game yesterday that the Chiefs will learn from this, and I guess they've been to three Super Bowls in a row and have had a lot of success. What do you think they learned or will learn from this because they've been so successful?
So the old adage that I was taught when I played with the Chiefs and actually earlier even into my college days is that you never stay the same. You either get better or you get worse every single day. And that's kind of got to be the mindset of a professional athlete in order to wake yourself up in the morning and in order to do what you need to do to be a better teammate, to be a professional. Let's face it, these young guys make a lot of money. And if you don't have a mindset of always trying to get better, and if you're not getting better, somebody else is getting better to take your job, and by default, you're getting worse. That's what Andy Reid is talking about. So you shouldn't be surprised that maybe within the next week, within the next 2 weeks, you're going to see guys on Instagram, on Snapchat, videoing their workouts. They're already back to work getting ready for the 2025 season. They're not going to just jump on a plane to Cancun or somewhere and spend a month away from it. This stings. Mm. It sits in your gut for a long time, and these guys are going to be propelled by this feeling. And that's what the coaches want. They want to see at times in adversity, what are you going to do? Are you going to show up? Are you going to get better? Are you going to be fighting? There's some question marks on the team. Guys like Wanye Morris, Kingsley Suamataia, two guys that were counted on as offensive tackles that kind of wet the bed this season. Mm-hmm. What are you guys going to do to get better, to secure the job for yourself and not necessarily put us in a position where we have to move Joe Tooney out from being a Pro Bowl guard to play tackle so he could save our postseason lives? What are the other guys going to do? Jalen Watson coming back from injury but got beat twice on two big plays in the Super Bowl. What are you going to do to get better so that we don't have to look for a corner in the draft or somebody to take your position? The running game. What did these guys, Juwan Taylor at the offensive tackle? A lot of questions. Travis Kelce didn't play his best game. What are you going to do this offseason to get better so that we don't have this sting and this sour feeling in our stomach? So there's a lot to go around this organization, not just the players, but the coaches as well. And that's what Andy Reid is talking about.
Well, Danan, I know it stings, but it was a heck of a season, and we had so much fun having you join us every week. This is our last time until next season, so we just wanted to thank you so much for all of the time, all of the conversations. You're awesome, and we can't wait to talk again next season.
Looking forward to it as well. It's been an awesome season talking with you guys. We've had a lot of fun, a lot of laughter, and I look forward to it next season. So thank y'all for having me. I'm glad we hit more people in the mouth than we got hit, and we'll look forward to doing some more damage this next season coming up.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Danan Hughes, Kansas City Chiefs radio analyst and former wide receiver. He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.